This is LBC with Ben Kentish. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
12:34 the time. Back to your calls on headphone dodging and what should happen to these Muppets in a couple of minutes, though. Let's just talk first about the story that leads quite a few of tomorrow's newspaper front pages, or today's newspaper front pages, I should say. The growing pressure on Peter Mandelson, former Labour cabinet minister, now Britain's ambassador to the United States, after new revelations about his relationship, his close relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. Of course, the notorious prolific paedophile sex offender who took his own life in prison a couple of years ago. Simon Marks joins us, LBC's Washington correspondent. Simon, very good evening to you. Very good morning, I should say. Evening your time. We knew this, didn't we? We knew that Peter Mandelson had a pretty close association with Jeffrey Epstein. It's been the source of speculation, conjecture, questions for quite a few months now. But the new revelations have piled more pressure on Peter Mandelson. Just talk us through what we've now learned and how big a deal you think it is. Morning.
Yeah, good morning to you, Ben. I think it is a growing problem for Lord Mandelson, now, of course, Britain's ambassador to the United States, dealing with Donald Trump on a continuing basis and sharing a connection to the disgraced and deceased financier Jeffrey Epstein with the American president. Like Donald Trump, Peter Mandelson contributed to the 50th birthday book that Ghislaine Maxwell organized so that Jeffrey Epstein's friends could send in submissions, wishing him a 50th birthday and paying tribute to him. In many cases, those contributions were lewd and lecherous and absolutely made it apparent that the people authoring those contributions had more than an inkling, I think it is fair to say, about Jeffrey Epstein's proclivities. That is not true necessarily of Peter Mandelson's contribution to the book, but it's a pretty substantial contribution. It's 10 separate pages, an illustrated set of pictures that begins with Peter Mandelson writing, "Once upon a time, an intelligent, sharp-witted man they call mysterious parachuted into my life. You would spend many hours just waiting for him to turn up." And then Peter Mandelson goes on to say, "And often, the sooner you were getting used to having him around, you would suddenly be alone again." Well, this thing goes on, as I say, over 10 pages. I suppose the most curious page is the eighth one, where there appears to be a picture of an island. I don't know if it is Epstein Island, but certainly Peter Mandelson indicates that on occasion you would be invited to one of his glorious homes that he likes to share with his friends. And then in brackets underneath, he writes the words, "Yum, yum." So, I mean, I think that he's got some explaining to do, given that we know that there are allegations of all sorts of nefarious activities that took place on Epstein Island, and that a whole host of high-level people, celebrities, captains of industry and business, people connected to the world of politics, went to Epstein Island at his personal invitation. So I think it's difficult. I mean, as you know, Peter Mandelson absolutely is reminding everybody that many months ago he said that he regretted ever having been introduced to Jeffrey Epstein. But I think we are now seeing that there was more of a deep and abiding friendship, certainly according to what Peter Mandelson scribed in this birthday book, than we previously understood.
We referred to him, didn't he, as his best pal.
Best pal, yeah.
And this, I mean, obviously big questions for Peter Mandelson, Simon, and his judgment. I do wonder if there's also a pretty major question mark over Keir Starmer's judgment, given that knowing not all of this, but quite a lot of it, about the relationship between Mandelson and Epstein, Starmer still decided he was the right man to be ambassador in Washington.
Well, I think it's certainly a question that can be asked. I mean, there were all sorts of other reasons why Lord Mandelson may not have been the right choice for Washington, D.C., given that he, of course, played a prominent role in the realm of trade with the European Union. And Donald Trump is implacably opposed to the European Union's approaches to trade, as Brussels has learnt since he returned to the White House. I mean, we don't know the extent of Lord Mandelson's association with Donald Trump prior to his arrival in Washington, D.C. Clearly, I think that there are questions that may be worth asking in that regard as well. Andrew Marr was telling me this evening on his program that his sources are telling him that Donald Trump's nickname for Peter Mandelson is Sneaky Pete. So that would suggest that the President of the United States is not necessarily beguiled by some of the approaches that Lord Mandelson has taken when he's in the Oval Office. You'll remember that he was there when Keir Starmer was on the telephone and they announced that partial trade deal. And absolutely, the British ambassador has been very, very careful in flattering Donald Trump. And also, as he did in his speech over the weekend, saying to government officials and lawmakers and others in the UK, you've got to understand that Donald Trump really saw something in American public opinion that other people did not see about the direction that the country was taking. And you can't ignore that, and you can't diminish the scale of the success he had winning the presidency, not just once, but twice. I think there are questions there.
Yeah, this is the man that Mandelson previously described as a danger to the world, of course. Simon, a couple of other big matters to get your thoughts on, if we could. Firstly, the Israeli strike on Hamas leaders in Doha, Qatar today. Lots of suggestions that Donald Trump, who was informed prior to that strike, far from happy about it.
Yes, and far from happy about it, Ben, because of the manner in which he appears to have been informed. Take a listen to this very carefully worded statement that was uttered in the White House briefing room by White House Press Secretary Caroline Levitt.
The Trump administration was notified by the United States military that Israel was attacking Hamas. The president directed his special envoy Witkoff to immediately call the Qataris. And after the attack, he spoke to Prime Minister Netanyahu.
So the Trump administration was not notified by the Israeli government directly or by Benjamin Netanyahu that the Israeli Prime Minister was authorizing an airstrike on America's most important prominent ally in the region outside Israel. And then it seems that there was panic behind the scenes, with Steve Witkoff, the president's special envoy, told to get in touch with the Qataris and tell them that the attack was about to unfold. Indeed, it seems pretty clear that there was military-to-military notification that the attack was beginning. So it really was a rapid move by the White House to try and warn the Qataris about what was by then incoming in Doha. I think this is a massive problem for the Trump administration. The president says that he covets a ceasefire finally being negotiated between Hamas and Israel. But the Israelis today literally blew those negotiations up in Doha. The Qataris are furious. The Jordanians are furious. The Saudis are furious. And in Doha, the Qatari authorities would be perfectly reasonable if they now sought security guarantees before agreeing to broker any more of these conversations. They'll want a cast iron pledge from Israel that there is going to be no repeat of this, no effort to assassinate Hamas officials that were meeting to discuss their response to another round of back and forth about the possible text for a ceasefire. Yeah. And the Israelis have said that this operation was months in the making. So this is very, very problematic for Donald Trump, very problematic for the State Department, and difficulties in an allied relationship that, remember, hosts 10,000 American troops at the Al Udeid Air Base in Qatar. So it's a big problem.
Talking of big problems, Simon, one other thing to get your reaction to. Reports tonight, and they are only reports at this point in time, but they've come from the Ukrainian government, that Russian drones have entered Polish airspace. There are suggestions as well that Polish and other NATO fighter jets have been scrambled in response to that. Details very, very thin on the ground at this point in time, but clearly something that all NATO countries, including the US and the Trump administration, will be paying very, very close attention to, I'd imagine.
I think that's absolutely right. Poland, of course, a key NATO ally of the United States, a pillar of NATO, and a country into which NATO forces forces have sort of expanded, nestled up along the border with Russia. We're told that Ukraine's Air Force placed its air defenses on the highest state of readiness after Ukraine issued that warning that Russian drones were heading west and threatening the city of Zamość in Poland. I mean, if this turns out to be accurate reporting by the Ukrainians, the Americans will want to be keeping a very close eye on what is taking place, because the nightmare scenario with regard to the Ukraine conflict, of course, is any kind of Russian attack on NATO soil, because of Article 5, yep. At the center of NATO's charter, the Mutual Defense Covenant, an attack on one is an attack on all. So I suspect they will be burning the late night oil at what we must now call the Department of War here in Washington, and keeping an eye on exactly what's taking place in the skies over Poland.
Simon, appreciate your time as always. Thank you very much indeed. Simon Marks, LBC's Washington correspondent.